Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
WTIC, don't forget. The Rant Line's there for you 24 hours a day. Call whenever you like. Your reason for using the Rant Line is up to you. Some people just it's more convenient to call at times other than when we're on live. But there are all kinds of reasons. Pick your own. 860-751-4698. Joining us now, former State Senator Len Susio, also a candidate for State Senate. Once again, and what a glorious thing for the state it would be if he got elected once again. Hello there, Len.
Hey, Todd. It's great to be back on your show. It's been a little too
Well, it's
long.
Good to hear your voice again. It's been a long time. It's good to hear that voice. Go ahead, sing for us.
Happy days are here again. That's the wrong part.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
It's great that you're running. You know, we haven't talked much since you announced you're running again. What is it that got you to do it? Because you have a busy life. You've got your own business and and a good consulting enterprise and all, and you've got a family to take care of. What is it that caused you to step back into the fray?
Todd, you sound like my wife. Why do you want to
Well,
do
we just spoke. She wanted me to find out from you because she said she hasn't been able to figure it out.
I guess I'm a glutton for punishment, but, you know, I just see the state is in a catastrophic condition now. I mean, it's been teeter-tottering on the verge of a financial meltdown for the last 10 years, and it wasn't going to take much to push the state over the cliff, but no one saw the COVID-19 thing coming along. I suspected that we'd go into recession, and that would be the thing that would kick us off the fiscal cliff, but no one again saw a pandemic, a healthcare crisis, which would precipitate it. And it's far worse than just the normal recession, of course, because it's so draconian in the decline, and it's so sudden as well. It was something that 5 months ago, 4 months ago, actually, who would have thought that we'd be looking at the situation we're looking at right now, where we're told to stay home. We got the governor of the state saying, stay out of the state if you come from half the country. We don't want you here. We're going to check you at the airport if you show up. So I just said, you know, I'm going to give it one more shot to see if I can help put the train back on the tracks. We know this, that if we have a Democratic governor, we're going to continue having a Democratic governor for at least two more years after this election. And if we continue to have a Democratic legislature, you know what the cure for the disease is going to be that they're going to go for. It's going to be record-breaking tax increases. They're not going to take a hard look at cutting spending anywhere at all. There was a good article in the Connecticut Mirror back a week or two ago where the governor was talking about, well, maybe we should go and do it the old-fashioned way, balance the budget by cutting the spending. And all the Democratic legislative leaders were talking about, oh, we can't hurt people. You know, we can't cut back programs. In the meantime, apparently they don't regard taxpayers as real people who are the ones.
Yes, and they don't consider excessive taxation to be a burden or pain being inflicted on taxpayers, which, of course, is ludicrous. It's just their choice of who they want to represent. But given this tragic circumstance, I just want to get back to the COVID thing a little bit. What do you think they're up to? It seems to me that they want to extend the crisis, quote unquote crisis, for as long as possible and keep emergency powers and make sure that the democratic principles they claim to have such respect for are not things that have to be respected or practiced in the state.
Right. Right. You know, well, again, power is an aphrodisiac, as they say, basically. And this has been gift wrapped to the politicians. It's a great excuse. You know, we've got this pandemic going on. I personally believe that we have to be careful about this. This is a serious illness. I'm not downplaying that at all. And apparently it's very highly contagious. But nonetheless, I think a lot can be achieved by just the prudence that we've all learned. I had a doctor visiting my house on Saturday for social reasons. He's a friend of the family. He works in a clinic in New York City. And he was talking about his experience treating COVID-19 patients down there. And he said in every single case that they work, when anyone tested positive for COVID-19 or they showed any kind of symptoms, they treated them with hydroxychloroquine and antibacterial drug. They'll come next to me. But he said in every single case, it worked. Within 5 days, the patients had fully recovered. And I said, well, what's this big argument then about it? And he said, well, I can only tell you from my own experience, it worked in every single case. The earlier you use it, the quicker was the recovery and the more effective it was. And he explained to me why it's erythromycin. That's what I was saying. Okay. He explained to me the combination. What it does is it doesn't destroy the virus. It slows the rate of reproduction of the virus down so that it can't overwhelm the body's immune system. It gives the body.
Yeah. So the support that's being offered in the hospitalization has a chance to work. It's not overwhelmed by the expansion of the virus.
Right. So he also volunteered to me. I said, well, you know, why is this big argument going on? He said, well, you have to understand the pharmaceutical industry has a vested interest in pushing new solutions that are extremely expensive. He said that the treatment, one treatment of hydroxychloroquine with erythromycin cost him less than $1 per treatment. And he said, they make no money on it. So the pharmaceutical industry wants something they're going to make a lot of money on. And therefore, they're very powerful. They've got politicians who are downplaying the efficacy of the treatment. And he said, look, I certainly didn't do a scientific study, but I just can tell you from my own experience, in every single case that we tried it, it worked. That to me validates empirically that the treatment does work. And I know that Yale New Haven Hospital and the Hartford Healthcare System, back a couple of months ago, it was announced that they were using erythromycin and hydroxychloroquine to treat patients. I haven't seen or heard anything since then.
I believe I've read about it elsewhere as well, where that combination is being used. And there have been other doctors popping up around the country. I forget if it was exactly that same drug combination, mm-hmm. but where they were basically alleging that there's a cover-up going on of certain treatments that have been found to have efficacy, and yet they're not able to propagate that particular idea across the country. But that would suggest that the political system is rigged in a way that's more cruel and more dangerous and more hateful than what we've discussed. We're talking to former State Senator Len Suzzo. He's running for office once again. So, Len, a lot of bad news. And the question is...
It's Todd, you know, we're...
Yeah, but are you suggesting that this is all a conspiracy on the part of Democrats to be able to keep their knee on the neck of the economy? And even as you speak, I know you're trying to compensate by talking about the danger of the virus, and that's all agreed upon. It's a dangerous virus. Also dangerous is the utter ravaging of the economy, which Jolly Ned and other politicians across the country ignore when they talk about the virus. It seems to me that to fairly discuss the virus and what the proper politics is for responding to it, you have to be weighing the virus against the economic damage. That you've got these two diseases that have to be mitigated. And they only talk about the one side of the equation.
That's right, Todd. I mean, the economic and fiscal consequences the health of the state from an economic point of view, the health of the state budget from a fiscal point of view are being savaged by the virus, basically. And we are looking at record-breaking deficits as far as the eye can see. And it's unprecedented in terms of the size of the budget deficits are being forecast right now. And I said,
okay, but this raises an interesting question, and that is, why would the governor be so excited at the idea of only treating this one way, and that is keep doing what hurts the economy without considering other options that could maintain the good results, the good trend that they're not good results overall, but the moment that we're in right now with regard to the virus in Connecticut is good. And he's arguing he wants to protect that. Okay, but where's your argument on the economy? Why would he only want to stick to that one side? Why do they have no concern over destroying the economy for a state that was already crippled by bad management before COVID came along?
Well, I think there's a few answers to that. One is, in politics, the future is now. They're worried and concerned about the crisis that's at hand at this moment in time. The financial
crisis. The November election, you mean?
Yeah. Well, yes, that. But right now, they're worried about the health care crisis as it is, basically. And they're not thinking about beyond that. And what's going to happen is the after effects, as the health care crisis abates, the fiscal crisis will be about to begin. So, but they figure, okay, that's something till after the election. Right now, the pre-election crisis is the healthcare crisis itself. The problem is that, of course, we'll be past the election when they come to addressing that issue, and they'll be immune to the will of the voters because they will delay any kind of fiscal measures until after November 3rd when the election occurs. And what's really, really scary is Connecticut never recovered from the 2008 Great Recession. I sent you an article from the Wall Street Journal, Todd, and you know it said that Connecticut lost $12 billion in gross domestic product from 2007 to 2019. They're talking about annually, okay, not just total for all that time. Connecticut is the only state to have suffered that way. Every other state has recovered and is doing more economic activity than it was before 2007. So we were already in deep doggy do to begin with because our economy was shrinking. And at the same time, spending was increasing. From 2007 to 2020, state spending increased by 25%. So the economy shrinks, significantly. The spending blows up dramatically. And you also have people leaving the state. Connecticut's population has been decreasing during the same period of time. From 2007 to 2019, the economy of the country grew by 19.5%. Connecticut shrank by 2.1%. Every state in the Northeast grew. Connecticut is the only state in the Northeast that did not grow in that period of time.
Okay, so that drives home the point of why, well, how outrageous it is. What you're suggesting is that the Democrats want to ride out the oppression of the economy, the further destruction of the economy, in favor of looking wonderful on COVID until after the election. In other words, they're politicizing both the economic well-being of the state and the response to COVID in order to get through the November elections without Republicans being able to campaign to try to take seats away. And without their, to be able to use the daily press conferences and all the focal point on Ned as the protector of the people, that this is all a manipulation in order to win re-election.
It sets the stage for complete political exoneration for any culpability having to do with the state's financial crisis. Because what they'll say is, oh, we had no choice. We had to protect the
well. Well, wait. No. Wait a sec. You're getting a little ahead of the conversation. I'm talking about right now till November. What they're doing is they don't want to talk about the state's economic situation.
That's
but
right.
On the day after the election in November, they'll suddenly start talking not so much about the virus, more about the economic tragedy the state is in. They don't want to bring the truth to the mind of the voter before the election, because that would hurt their electoral chances. And they don't want us thinking about all the taxes they're going to hike. We're talking to Len Susio. He's running for state senate in Meriden once again. And, okay, so after the election, it's big tax hike time is what you're saying. We have just a minute left. Go ahead, Len.
Yeah, it's record-breaking. And again, politically speaking, it makes sense. They're being smart politically. They are exploiting the crisis, and they're setting the stage for complete exoneration after the election, when they're going to claim they have to do these enormous tax increases. And what choice do they have? They had to save the state from the health care crisis to begin with. So it's a 1-2 punch, and it totally exempts them from any accountability and any responsibility. That's the game that they're playing.
They hope that they can fool people that way. But even so, big tax increases are not an appealing thing for a state that's already overtaxed. What will be the end result of that? It seems to me that big tax increases are bad news for the people who institute the tax increases.
Oh, I think big tax increases are a prescription to exacerbate the disaster. But there's one other thing they're hanging their hat on. They're praying and hoping that Joe Biden wins this November.
Yes.
And that Congress
and dumps a lot of money into the state.
Yes. Federal government will bail them out. That's what they're hoping.
Oh, one tragedy after another. All right. I've got to hold you right there. Len Susio, what's the website for the campaign?
It's Susio2020.com. Susio2020.com. Visit, and we've raised the money and everything else, but we need volunteers. We're looking for people to get involved in the campaign. It's the little things that make a big difference.
All right. Thank you, sir. Good to talk with you once again. Former State Senator Len Susio running once again.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.